This episode of Midori House was first broadcast on the 31st of December 2012 on Monocle 24. Midori House is brought to you in association with Moncler.
Hello and welcome to this very last edition of Midori House for 2012 here on Monocle 24. We're live in Samaritz with me, Tyler Brulé, Andrew Tuck and Sophie Grove. Coming up over the next 60 minutes,
we'll meet Dr. George Albornoz of the Clinic Gut here in Samaritz and speak to him about the challenges of alpine healthcare.
Then we'll hear from our Marcus Hippie as he hurtles down the Samaritz Bob Run, the oldest and scariest natural ice chute in the world.
And we'll be sitting down with Martin Berthaud, Director of Sports and Events for the Samaritz Tourism Board.
And we'll find out how the Grand Alpine Hotel is being reinvented for the next generation.
It was a place where people who've made journeys from St. Moritz to Venice, and they stayed here for one night. So it was also a culture point in the valley, here in this little, very, very small village with 200 people.
All this and I get a lesson on the history of wellness in the Engadine from the wellness director of the Badritz Palace Hotel. Coming up on the next 60 minutes here on Midori House.
And good evening from Samaritz, where we're just a little under 5 hours away from the start of fireworks and serious festivities. But as you can probably hear across from us, all of the post-ski crowd, all of the ski instructors are well warmed up on the far side of the terrace here at Hauser.
What I love is the absolute mountains of skis that are piling up on the racks and people just making for the bar. They're really in good voice as well.
Absolutely.
Quite a lot of singing.
And Andrew, it doesn't even feel like you've been here for 24 hours now, does it?
No, it's extraordinary to think that I only arrived here a day ago. We've already been skating. This is my second show. We've eaten quite a lot of food, actually, for one day, but you need it up here in the mountains. And I've seen more kind of padded jackets and fluffy boots than I've seen in my life.
Now, you had a serious shop this afternoon. We went up to Ender Sport, which is a lovely little sports store up the street. And Andrew had his eye on. He wasn't sure if he should maybe go for sealskin pom-poms or maybe mink pom-poms.
Oh, my gosh. Well, pom-poms in general, I think, are quite in vogue here. There's some serious... the fur is just breathtaking.
As is your muff this evening, as well.
Yeah, this is on loan, actually, and it's a bear. But I lost a glove when I was ice skating somehow, and so I had to go 1940s style.
Everyone needs a radio muff, don't they? Time to go back to London for the news headlines.
Monocle 24 News, I'm Bill Bingham. As the clock ticks down to the new year in the USA, there's still no Republican-Democrat deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. The $500 billion worth of tax increases and $109 billion in spending cuts are due to hit the US in 11 hours' time in a long-delayed response to the nation's spiralling deficit. The House of Representatives and the Senate are meeting today, an unusual event on New Year's Eve, in the hope of some kind of agreement to work from. Republicans who control the House don't want to raise taxes. Democrats who control the Senate and the White House don't want to cut spending. Investors have reacted nervously as the deadline approaches, and New York's financial workers have been expressing their frustration at the lack of progress. This Wall Street worker, Peggy Kreiser, says the politicians need to listen to the people.
I think it's a shame. I don't think the politicians are coming together. I don't see compromise. Our government right now is broken to the extent of compromise. If we don't clear it up, we're going to have issues. We're affecting people that don't have employment at this time. We're affecting people that need help. You know, I predict, hopefully, they'll come up with a fixed gap that'll get extended till next year. If not, I think we need to do what we do most. We vote for who we believe is working for us, and we vote those people that aren't doing it out.
That was a very deep-voiced Wall Street worker, not called Peggy, but called Tom, excuse me. A series of bombings across Iraq has killed at least 22 people, including three policemen. Around 50 people are also believed to have been injured in the violence, which struck the northern provinces of Kirkuk and Diyala, and south of Baghdad in Babil province. The attacks were aimed at government officials, security forces and Shiite Muslims in the lead-up to major commemoration ceremonies. No one has yet claimed responsibility. India has scaled back New Year celebrations as it mourns the death of a woman whose gang rape on a bus a fortnight ago sparked public outrage. The army has cancelled all official celebrations, as have the states of Punjab and Haryana. The president of the governing Congress party, Sonia Gandhi, also says she won't be celebrating. Meanwhile, protests over attitudes to women in India have continued in the capital, Delhi, where the 23-year-old medical student was assaulted. Pratima Poddar wants everyone to back the protests.
We urge before the male community as well of the society that they also be part of our struggle, and what we are not against the males of the society, because we are the persons who give birth to male persons. So we are not against them, but we are against this patriarchal society and this chauvinism.
Greece's coalition government has backed the investigation and potential trial of former finance minister George Papakonstantinou. MPs from all three coalition parties, including his own PASOK party, have signed a proposal calling for the investigation into his allegedly tampering with a public document. He's accused of deleting his relatives from a list of possible tax evaders. He denies doing so and says the case against him has been fabricated. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is expected to remain a patient at New York's Presbyterian Columbia University Medical Center for at least another 36 hours. The State Department says she was admitted on Sunday with a blood clot linked to a concussion she suffered earlier this month. 65-year-old Mrs. Clinton has been out of the public spotlight since mid-December, when officials said she suffered a concussion after fainting due to a stomach virus contracted during a trip to Europe. Jakarta is the latest city to join in the New Year celebrations with a huge 4-mile street party. 16 large stages have been built along the normally busy 8-lane motorway, which runs through the centre of the Indonesian capital. Celebrations marking the new year are taking place around the world on a grand scale. Hong Kong and Shanghai welcomed in 2013, an hour before Jakarta. This year, $12.5 million Hong Kong dollars worth of fireworks were set off, said to be their biggest display ever. That's the latest Monocle 24 news.
Thanks very much for that, Bill. I think they're going to try to give them a run for their money, at least on the shores of the lake in St. Moritz here, maybe to the tune of probably 12.5 million Swiss francs with fireworks tomorrow night. Sadly, I'm going to miss them, but my colleagues, both Andrew and Sophie, will still be around to catch everything tomorrow.
And apparently they have an amazing fireworks display here at the Hauser. When the staff gather around a large magnum champagne.
We're going to have to scamper up after we're off air.
I wonder if we actually qualify as being staff.
I think almost at this point.
I think Mr. Hauser's almost allowed us to be honorary staff at the moment. He's treated us so well.
I know, actually. Well, Jack Phillips has been wandering around in the kitchen. I've seen him using the staff roots.
Yeah, no, he knows. He knows a way around a back room very, very well. It's just 3:08. If you're listening in Tokyo, Happy New Year to you. It's 18:08 in London. It is 13:08 in New York. You're listening to Midori House. We're back in a moment.
Van uit London, dit is Monocle 24.
Where are you, London? This is Monocle 24.
From London, this is Londres.
Hollanda.
London, Europe, top.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Zurich.
London.
London.
This is Monocle 24.
And this is Midori House on Monocle 24. We're live in St. Moritz, overlooking the roundabout. We're overlooking, I think that's actually quite amazing. You'd never probably see an X5 BMW as a police vehicle in London, would you, Andrew?
They're coming to get you, Andrew.
What I like about this roundabout is also it's quite perilous. Actually, this is quite a good clue for our next guest in a minute, but it's quite perilous. I mean, we saw last night people in very high heels trying to walk across the ice into their taxis in a few kind of Louboutins as well. They weren't all in snow
boots.
Well,
no, I would have arrested those women, I mean, probably for a variety of reasons, as they were teetering across, you know, one just for sheer stupidity, if anything else. But yes, indeed, we're going to be talking to Dr. George Allbäumer from the Clinic Gut a little bit later. We're also sending off our Marcus Hippie. He goes down on on the Bob Run, just about a good kilometre from where we are. We're also going to be talking to Mr. Martin Berthaud, who oversees, of course, all sports and events here. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the reinvention of Alpine hospitality. And Sophie, this was never even commissioned in the beginning, but somehow on day one she managed to commission herself to do a series of spa packages, Andrew. I don't know if you've caught anything yet.
All I know is she smells of essential oils the whole day.
I'm dedicated to my work. You know, it's the front line here.
It is absolutely the front line.
And jacuzzis, frankly.
No, I don't want to put you on the spot, Andrew, but as we're sort of counting down the hours now, 4 hours and around 50 minutes until at least we strike midnight in the heart of the Alps here. 2012 for you. Well, good year. I mean, we can delve into other matters, but let's speak professionally anyway.
Professionally, I think it's been an extraordinary year. Like, it's great to think back a year ago. This radio station was a fledgling, actually beginning to find its feet, but you know, lots of things still to come, and it's grown up very nicely. It's great to see our website relaunched. It's great to see a new office and bureau in Toronto. It just feels that, you know, without being excessive, we've grown nicely and slowly month by month, and it's great to look back over last year and to think that we can now be here in Samaritz doing outside broadcasts, and we've come a long way.
Sophie, for you?
Well, it's been an amazing news year, really. It's a bit of a gift for any journalist. We've just seen an incredible election in the US, some really amazing tectonic shifts going on in the Middle East. And we've just had this amazing sort of news cycle going on, continuously fulfilling us. And I've been to some amazing places, mainly the Arctic and Africa.
Yes, exactly. the extremes of the, at least at the top end of the alphabet, around A anyway. We are going to be coming back in a moment. We're going to be talking to Dr. George Allboimer from the clinic, who just across the way here. You're listening to Midori House. We're live in Semeritz.
Vanuit London. Dit is Monocle 24.
London으로부터 Monocle 24입니다.
Ut London, du er Monocle 24.
Fra London, dette er Monocle 24.
From London, this is Londres.
Hollanda.
London으로부터
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Zurich.
London.
This is Monocle 24.
To the last edition of Midori House for 2012, as we count down the hours to the arrival of 2013 here in Samaritz.
Now, we're happy to report that as of going on air, none of our crew have suffered any spills on the slopes, crashes on sleds, this is only partly true, or slips in the village. Had any of us had the misfortune of a complicated fracture, the good news would have been that there are a few places better than Samaritz for urgent orthopaedic care.
Yes, and I can actually attest to that. Tucked just out of sight from our broadcast position is the Klinik Gut, a small yet perfectly equipped and, more importantly, perfectly staffed private hospital that does a brisk business in knees, shoulders, hips, feet, and pretty much any other bone that can encounter trouble on slope or street. Joining us now to tell us more about the shifts in injuries and also the economics of running a Swiss clinic is Dr. George Allboimer. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you, Tato, for inviting me.
No, thank you. Thank you for looking after my knees all of these years. I have to say, in the interest of full disclosure, that Dr. Allboimer has really sort of seen to my pins, which is incredibly important. George, we were talking, not just over the past few days, but over the past few years, about really, the nature of sports injuries and the role that on one side, I guess technology is supposed to make us safer, but also it makes us go faster as well. And I'm wondering, have the nature of injuries, since you've been up here, have they changed significantly on the sports side? And we'll talk about how the clinic has changed a little bit more a bit later on.
I think the pathology around the nature of the injuries is still the same. But we see with the modern equipment, you can go much faster. And I think people, it's not anymore like a recreational sport activity. It's really a sport activity. So we do see more serious injuries than we have seen in the past. That's true, unfortunately.
And what do serious sports injuries look like today? I mean, broken legs are broken legs. But I'm wondering, again, because of the advent of carving, et cetera, has there been an actual uptick in a certain type of injury, per se?
I think we do see more serious knee injuries because the carving skis, they tend to really hold better when you do your turn, and if you have a mishap, the ski just finishes the turn. It doesn't matter what you do on top of the skis. So the whole rotational forces go to the knee, and we see much more complex knee injuries, which implies rupture of the ACL, meniscus, and medial collateral ligaments, which are today with the modern technology, you can repair that, but it's a long issue for the patients.
I mean, we jumped into your clinic the other day just to have a look around. It was absolutely hopping, or not hopping, as the case may be. But as you said, it was terribly busy in there. Now, at this time of year, I wonder, of course, you have people coming in for surgery from elsewhere, but I guess trauma and emergencies at this time of year, and as we were referencing, these ladies on these crazy heels on these cobblestones in front of us, do you get more village injuries or more slope injuries?
I think sometimes it's 50-50. So we see it depends a little bit on the weather conditions. If there are icy conditions on the road, we do have a lot of people falling down. I 100% agree. I mean, high heels is very fashionable, but maybe not for this time of the year in Samaritz. At least crossing the street.
So I hear that you have a wine list in your clinic, which is quite unusual and I sort of understand why now, having heard about these things. But I wondered, you know, how different is your clinic to, you know, any other hospital in Europe, for instance?
I think for us, at least, our philosophy is it's not only repairing people, it's treating people. And I always tell my patients, let's say it's a temporary disorder. So we want to let them feel a little at home, because we think psyche is also very important for the healing process. So we want to give them the maximum service also from the human aspect, so that they are, that, because if you have to see, if someone has an injury, he doesn't know what will happen to him. He doesn't know his physicians, his life's changed in a minute. And we just want to take away the fear they have, because it's all unexpected. And part of this is the care we do with the patient. And also this implies a wine list.
George, tell me, I know that obviously some of the injuries you're dealing with are emergencies, but many of the people coming here, you know, they have a choice where they go to be treated.
Yes.
And it's not just Switzerland they can go to these days. Every country seems to be very keen on medical tourism.
Right.
They're trying to promote their hospitals, whether it's Singapore or just across the border here. Austria Right. seems much keener these days on medical tourism. Are you finding that you have to be in quite a competitive market these days to pull in your clients?
I think everything is about service. People today, they can really decide where they want to be treated. New York, Berlin, London, wherever. And I think we are very small, so we are very service-driven. We are sub-specialized. That means we have, for each problem, we have one specific high-skilled surgeon. We have different places, so we bring the service. Re-seeing the patient close where they live. We have a medical practice in Zurich. We have one in Ascona. We have a second clinic to Chur. I think this makes everything very direct for the patient. 70% of our patients are not coming from the area, and 50% of the patients are coming, especially this year, time of the year, coming from abroad. I mean, this changed in summer, because we are very busy in trauma in the winter, but 70% of all our yearly work is orthopedic surgery with, let's say, different kind of procedures like joint replacement, sports injury repairs, where people really seek for treatment at our clinics.
I mean, we're at almost 2,000 meters above sea level here. George, what type of advantages are there to actually coming for your treatment? Let's say you get down the slopes and you get down the streets just fine on your heels. But if you decided to come to the clinic, is there an advantage to being treated in a small village like this in an alpine environment, do you think?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we do a lot of joint replacement, and the biggest fear for an orthopedic surgeon is an infection. Due to the altitude, it's a very dry climate. We only do this kind of surgery, so the risk of having an infection is clear lower than on sea level. I think there are various scientific researches also that that hospitals do have 2 to 3% infection rate, and We are way below of that, and I think maybe one of the reasons that the Alpine region at a level almost of 2,000 meters has so little germs and less allergens.
I guess there's also a sense of focus as well. I mean, I know that when I came for to have my knee surgery up here as well, you're really focused on recovery, because if you can also then stay up here, you do your physio, because there aren't that many distractions as well.
100%. We are a big believer in physiotherapy and in the aftercare. So more than 50% of all our focus we put on the aftercare, which also implies a very intensive, well-guided physiotherapy wherever people are.
So George, I know that a lot of the people from the Cresta Run and the bobsleigh, when they've had accidents, come to you. And I've been to the Cresta clubhouse and had the death talk, which is like absolutely terrifying. I wondered whether or not you even ski yourself, having seen so many of these people come through.
I mean, I know the guys from the Cresta since years, and they always invite me for a run each year. I always have to refrain of using the Cresta, because if something would happen to my hand, I would not risk it. But I still, I love to ski, I love to snowboard, and I do this whenever I have time off. Actually, this was one of the reasons to come here 23 years ago.
Well, Dr. George Albimer of the clinic, Gut, Happy New Year, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to all your people here and to your audience.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Midori House, and keeping it on a bit of an alpine theme, it's just 3:21 in Niseko in Japan. It's at 19:21 in St. Moritz. It's 13:21 on the slopes of Mont Tremblant, and it's 10:21 at the top of Mount Hood in Oregon. We're back in a moment with a bit of bobsledding.
During snowy December, Midori House is brought to you by Montclair. And from December the 27th to January the 2nd, we'll be heading off-piste to broadcast the briefing in Midori House live from St. Moritz. Montclair, keeping the slopes stylish and warm since 1952.
Back to Midori House here on Monocle 24. Well, our Marcus Hippie is a man of many talents, and it turns out he's surprisingly brave too. This weekend, we sent him to visit the St. Moritz Celerina Olympic Bob Run. On today's briefing, we heard him talking to the director of the track, Roberto Triulzi. Well, after that interview, Marcus was given the chance to be hurtled around the icy course at terrifying speed, and the intrepid Finn accepted. Here's his report.
Okay, I see the bobsleigh in front of me already and my pilot, Donald Holstein. What is ahead? What to expect?
I expect a fast track, a fast taxi ride with my guest, a successful ride for my newcomers. And so, yeah, it's a good minute in front of me.
So it's going to be 1 minute?
1 minute and 15 seconds like this is the ride. And it's the same maximum speed than we have a two-man race bob and 10 kilometers slower than a four-man race bob. It's the real stuff, it's real bobsleighing.
Tell me about G-forces. I heard it's something like 4.5 Gs that you experience when you go down that road.
Yes, we have the same G-forces than race bobs, 4.5 in horseshoe. The complete bob will have a weight 2.8 tons in horseshoe, and also your body weight 4 times. The head is more than 6 kilos, and so it's a good experience.
How steep curves are there ahead?
15 bends, and we have 2 corners. Horseshoe is the most impressionable bend.
Horseshoe, I don't know what that is, but I think I'll find out in a second.
Yeah, horseshoe, the name will say the form of this bend. It's a short, active, real active and pressureful bend, and you will feel it.
I told earlier everyone that I'm not nervous about this at all, but actually I'm getting quite nervous now that I see I'm really going to go down that icy track. St. Moritz has the only natural ice track. Is that a good or bad thing?
It's a good thing. Because we have absolutely experts to build every year this track. It's smoother than other tracks. We have with 1,800 meter over sea level, we have the condition, the natural condition to look forwards with our naturally iced track, and active pilots likes it.
I think we really have to approach the ice track. Okay. I think it's our turn next time. What do I have to do when I sit down there?
Yeah, you have to look forward, and that's not that easy because the pressure push you to the bottom and you need a stiff back and good position and look forward. Enjoy it.
Okay, should we start?
Go now?
Yep.
It's going to be fun, I know.
Go, 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 go!
Go, 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 go!
Oh. So, congratulations!
Thank you, that was amazing.
Here we are.
So how was that?
It was a good, nearly perfect ride.
How did I do?
I think so well.
Was I loud?
No, not that much.
Okay.
I bet my face is all red, Anna. I'm really breathless after that, I think. You know, the G-force is actually really strong. I wasn't able to keep my head up all the way.
Yeah, you need a good position, a straight position, and then it's possible to hold the head up. But
you also need to know when to expect when the curve actually comes, because they came as surprises.
Yeah, I have more than 4,000 rides here, and you learn this in the beginning, to look forward, to hold the head up, and it's nice experience. Also, your second or third ride will be better.
Okay, I believe that.
No.
Donald Holstein, my pilot, do you still remember the first time when you went down that track?
Yes, I was on a race foreman, my first ride down, nearly 30 years ago, and it was harder. Now it's round, it's faster than old times, but it was impressional, absolutely impressional. You need some power on the way to the bottom, huh? So, compliment, well done.
Thank you.
Well, hats off to Marcus Hippie. Well, helmets off, maybe. A very brave ride there from Mr. Hippie. And I think we should all have to be kneeling at his feet when we get back to London. That was him riding the Bobsled Run, and he did that this weekend.
News in just a moment, but first, here's Adrian Stern with Blib Me Beer.
Well, that's what a very fine pair of Swiss lungs sound like. That's Adrian Stern with Blib Be Mir, and you're listening to Midori House live from St. Moritz.
And coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking to Mr. Martin Berthold, who oversees tourism and events here in St. Moritz. We're also going to find out how to run a hotel, Swiss style, and also be hearing the first part of our dear Sophie Grove's St. Moritz Spa Guide.
But first, here's Bill Bingham with the news headlines.
As the clock ticks down to the new year in the USA, there's still no Republican-Democrat deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. The $500 billion worth of tax increases and $109 billion in spending cuts are due to hit the US in 11 hours' time or so, just under 11 hours' time, in a long-delayed response to the nation's spiralling deficit. The House of Representatives and the Senate are meeting today, an unusual event on New Year's Eve in the hope of some kind of agreement to work from. Republicans who control the House don't want to raise taxes. Democrats who control the Senate and the White House don't want to cut spending. A series of bombings across Iraq has killed at least 22 people, including three policemen. Around 50 people are also believed to have been injured in the violence, which struck the northern provinces of Kirkuk and Diyata and south of Baghdad in Babil province. India has scaled back New Year celebrations as it mourns the death of a woman whose gang rape on a bus a fortnight ago sparked public outrage. The army has cancelled all official celebrations, as have the states of Punjab and Haryana. The president of the governing Congress party, Sonia Gandhi, also says she won't be celebrating. Greece's coalition government has backed the investigation and potential trial of former finance minister George Papakonstantinou. MPs from all three coalition parties, including his own PASOK party, have signed a proposal calling for the investigation into his allegedly tampering with a public document. He's accused of deleting his relatives from a list of possible tax evaders. He denies doing so. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is expected to remain a patient at New York's Presbyterian Columbia University Medical Center for at least another 36 hours. The State Department says she was admitted on Sunday with a blood clot linked to a concussion she suffered earlier this month. New Zealand, Australia and the Far East have been holding spectacular New Year celebrations. Jakarta had a huge four-mile street party. Hong Kong had 12.5 million Hong Kong dollars worth of fireworks, said to be their biggest display ever. And those are the latest headlines here on Monocle 24.
Thanks very much for that, Bill. And I do hope you found that little treat that we left for you back in the office in London. You listen to Midori House here on Monocle 24. We're coming to you live from St Moritz.
Now, earlier today, we talked to the town's mayor, Siggy Aspirin, about the ambitions of this little enclave on top of Europe. And it's no surprise that catering to tourism and events comes front and centre in terms of infrastructure planning. The gentleman charged with the sporting side of things for St Moritz is Mr Martin Berhot, and he joins us here on the platform. Welcome to Monocle 24's Midori House. So here, I mean, I've only been here for a week, but I've seen so many...
Only for a week, she says.
A week. Such an array of sports. I'm almost overwhelmed. You must be busy.
Yes, it's a time quite busy at the moment, so... But first of all, I would like to thank you that you are here and report about these different things we have in St. Moritz, and quite busy at the moment, especially with alpine skiing, of course, with all the guests we have. But we are preparing the bobsleigh world championship at the moment, and of course the Crest du Rhône. So at the moment it's quite busy, and tomorrow we will have the firework on the frozen lake. And the frozen lake, I got the okay to fire tomorrow night because at the moment it was too warm. And the lake is now frozen enough, so maybe tomorrow you can also walk on the lake.
Well, I think this is a very important thing to say for people who are not familiar with St Moritz. So we're sitting in the Dorf right now, and just really sort of in front of where we're broadcasting from is the lake. Now, normally by this time, it should be sort of sufficiently frozen up. And I just have to say thank you very much, because another run of Glühwein has just come to the table, which is very good news halfway through the show. But yeah, as you were saying, that normally people are able to walk around the lake at this time, and it's almost part of the Christmas experience, but I guess the weather turned unseasonably warm just in almost right up until the 24th, and now it's properly cold again. But the lake provides really, even in the wintertime, a key part of the whole sporting calendar here, does it not?
Yeah, it is, because the lake is now, you know, if you see the lake in summer, it's completely different than we have now in the summer. In the winter, it's frozen, it's white, it's a walking area. And in wintertime, it's an event area. So it's polo. We play polo on the frozen lake. We have the horse racing on the frozen lake since more than 100 years. But we need at least 25 to 30 centimeters of ice. Now, we have today 20 centimeters of ice, 25, and it will grow now. Per night, with this temperature per night, 1 centimeter. So... By the end of or mid of January, we will have about 50 to 80 centimeters.
So when it was interesting for me as an outsider coming here, it was interesting, you see people skating, you see people obviously skiing. So it covers for every age range as well. It's an interesting resort that we were up at one of the skating rinks today. And there were people who were kids, and there were older people hanging around there. Well, perhaps their kind of parents were off skiing. Is it important for you to have a range of activities that covers literally every generation?
It is very important to us. We need all these families. We need the young people. We need the older people, of course. Skiing is for everybody, and different sports are for younger people or for older people. So St. Moritz is very open to all these different activities, also only just for hiking, walking, or walking around the trees, All the passes are prepared in winter, and also for ice skating or just hanging around. And that's very important to St. Moritz, that for all, everybody is some office here.
If you categorize the skiing that goes on here, would it be a kind of just a good skier who likes to a more modest ski of the day? Is it scary? Is it kind of, what kind of skier does St. Moritz attract?
You know, it's the ski area is very open. We have on our main area, main mountain, the ski area, the Corvilia, we have very wide slopes, so it's for everybody. But on the same slopes, we have World Cup races. We have we are preparing the World Championship in 2017, and we have also slopes for beginners. So it's more or less for everybody for skiing, but only about 50% of our guests are skiers. The rest are, they do something else. They are here just to relax and to drink the Glühwein and to enjoy their stay here.
Martin, I wanted to ask you about the history of sporting activities here, because there's such an array, and some of them are very quirky, like the Cresta Run is almost completely unique. A lot of them are very English, sort of the English imports, like curling, for instance. When did these things really take off here, and how have they evolved?
In 1864, the first British guests came in winter season, where they did a bet with the hotel manager of the Kulm Hotel, and so they came in for the first time, and they started with different games on the ice. And afterwards, very early in beginning of 1880, curling was the first game played here on the continent in St. Moritz. And afterwards, very quick, they started with the Cresta skeleton and the bobsleigh. So the British guests are very important to our resort, and we are very happy to have them still here, and because the Cresta Run is organized by the British people and very famous by the British, and so they are very proud and very happy.
We should say they hoist the Union Jack every day for a couple of hours, asserting their sovereignty.
It's like a little British dependence down there. It is quite remarkable. I wanted to ask, when we were talking to your mayor today, we were having a little discussion about the new Hallenbad, which is going to be opening up. Again, I mean, this also sort of, you know, falls under sort of, you know, the broader, I guess, remit of sport as well. How important was it to get this Hallenbad up and running too? Because, you know, do you also see this as part of a winter draw, or is it part of your summer draw?
It's a part of the whole year draw, because we are known as a altitude training center for different kind of sports, for maybe all the Olympic sports. And we have many athletes coming in summer for athletics, track and field, for triathlon, for all the different kind of sports to train up here in the altitude. And so the Hallenbad, the Oberwerve, is very important. It was closed in 2003, more or less, or 2005, now for quite a few years closed. And now in 2014, we have a new Hallenbad, a new bath. And the water, together with the mountains, together with the strong of the mountains, it will be very important to our resort to come back to wellness and to spa and water play.
Yeah, and you can see, I just have to say this, Michael, you can see it with a 70 million Swiss franc smile on Mr. Berthaud's face as well, because he's saying this with confidence, because it's going to be, yes, for sure, probably the most superior swimming hall anywhere in Europe, I would say. And Andrew, we were saying earlier, I mean, even compared to the swimming hall in London for the Olympics, it might well put it to shame.
We walked past the building site yesterday. It's vast. Yeah, it looks like a kind of a Greek temple rising on the edge of the lake.
That's correct. That's also, it was also the idea of the architect, that they do something like a spa, like the Greek they had. Unfortunately, it's only a 25-meter bath, but for training and also for events, we can use it. And it will be a very nice spa for everybody.
And finally, just before we go, how involved is your office, Martin, with the 2022 Olympic bid?
First of all, we have to do the World Championship in 2017, and then we are going for the 2022 Olympics. And For us, you know, St. Moritz came known as an Olympic resort in 28 and 48, and now we have the chance to go for the third time for Olympics and maybe back to the root, maybe back to the white. It will be a good chance. And for us, for the St. Moritz Tourist Board and for our sport here, for our office, it's very important to win this votation on the 3rd of March in the canton of Grison to get into the bid. And I think I'm very confident that we will win this day, and then we go forward for at least to the decision of the International Olympic Committee in 15.
Excellent. Martin Berton, thank you very much for joining us. And Guto Ruch, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody, to you, to all of you, and I hope you come back soon.
We'll be back.
Yeah,
don't
you worry. When we come back, we're going to sample a new take on innkeeping. Midori House is live in St. Moritz. We're right back after this break.
During snowy December, Midori House is brought to you by Montclair. And from December the 27th to January the 2nd, we'll be heading off-piste to broadcast the briefing in Midori House live from St. Moritz. Montclair, keeping the slopes stylish and warm since 1952.
Before you set off on your travels this winter season, don't forget to pick up your issue of Monocle's winter newspaper, Monocle Alpino. We get cold weather combat training from Japan's elite snow patrols. We look at how Iceland has picked itself up and dusted itself off after a nasty wipeout. And we find the comfortable alpine retreats that will have you packing your bags and heading for the hills. Plus, we look at winter warming fashion ideas with all of the trimmings, including Bavarian lederhosen. That's all in the current issue of Monocle Alpino. Prost und zum Wohl!
Switzerland has a long and illustrious history of grand hotels and smart hoteliers. The lavish Belle Epoque gems such as Baderitz Palace here in St. Moritz set the standard for luxury hotels around the world. And the tradition of Swiss hospitality continues today, with a new breed of young and passionate innkeepers reinterpreting the Alpine experience for a new generation.
Monocle's Gillian de Bars hopped off a train at the tiny pink and white Alpine station to meet Hans Schmidt, proprietor of Hotel Piz Linard.
In his heyday, it was a place who people who've made journeys from St. Moritz to Venice, and they stayed here for one night. And though they made also here the dance and the big parties of birthday and all this, so it was also a culture point in the valley here, in this little, very, very small village with 200 people only.
A leap of faith to recreate a hotel in the valley, not on a ski slope, but in the valley. What prompted you to believe that this was possible?
I think it's possible because people like the light here. The light in the Engadine is a very, very special light of the morning, the evening, in autumn, in summer, in winter also, and it's the light. And now, today, is from Zurich, from Munich, from Basel. Many people, urban people, who like very much this place because it's not a cirque, it's very contemplative. Also, for the food we have, the kitchen is a very authentic kitchen. I often told to my chief in kitchen, let's do it like my grandmother. And this point would be very typical Swiss. And so there are very simple, typical Swiss meals people like, because they had it in their families by grandmother and they don't make it now. And that's what I like to do. Very simple kitchen, but very good quality, very fresh kitchen, and inspired by Italy and the mountains here.
Switzerland has a rich tradition of hoteliers. What is it like to be a contemporary hotelier? What do you think is important for good Swiss hospitality?
The guests like the patience of the hotelier if they feel his patience for lovely things, for the design, for the nature here, also for the kitchen and the wine. And it's very simple, the receipt, but I think it's the patience people would like to feel when they come here.
Do you think one of the successes of a good hotelier is creating experiences and in so doing creating memories?
Yeah, I think it's very important to create memories and experiences and little stories who people tell to her friends. They leave the local here and have some little stories they take with them, and they tell these little stories to her friends. This room, you smell also the wood. It's the original wood here from the mountains, and you smell it. And this room is made by two artists who live for 35 years here in the village. And all they made the bed themselves, they made the pictures on the wall, and also they chose the textiles for the curtains. I had the occasion to win different artists to make different rooms. And so every room has his character. It's like a big exhibition of modern arts, and you change rooms and you found different histories and atmospheres.
Everywhere I go, there are beautiful pieces of glass, wonderful pieces of glass. It seems the hotel is a menagerie of things you love and you hope your guests will love.
Oh yeah, it's so it is, yeah. You know, here in Switzerland, also in Griechen, you find very old things, and you have to found them and to care them. And I like things because all these things takes histories of families, of other hotels. Here it's the crossing also of cultures of Switzerland and Italy, and the culture of Autriche. And that you will feel here in Engadine.
So at its heart, this really is a hotel that celebrates the journey and being a traveler.
Oh yeah, being a traveler and have very fun to make experiences, but also experiences not too spectacular, very simple experiences, and also to meet people. To meet people and their biographies, and to be with a glass of wine the whole night with other peoples, and to eat at 8 o'clock, and then you to eat a second time at midnight. to be, to make the journeys, and to stay for one, two days at a very lovely, authentic village here.
And that was our very own Frau de Bias speaking to Hans Schmidt of the Hotel Pislinard. And don't forget, you can find out more about life in the mountains.
Wait. I have to say, though, you can't find life up the mountains, but we've been sitting on the edge of our seats throughout that package because there have been more ladies in the skimpiest of dresses heading off to the various hotels around the town centre in the most gravity-defying heels, and you just think, okay, here is a wipeout waiting to happen.
There were more Louboutin boots just going past, and I think Clinic Goot, they've probably got their doors open tonight.
They do.
they've laid on special staff.
I know, poor George Allboimer, he's going to be, like, I think, working the overnight shift.
We're talking 4 inches at plus.
Oh, yeah, 4 inches. 4 inches plus, like, a little, like, plateau, like, little platform at the front as well.
They're all Louboutin. You can see the red soles. But also, there was one woman just went by with her children.
I know, and you said...
She was no use to them.
Yeah. She'd be bloody useless to her kids if she... Where to tumble.
And we did see a sequined mini skirt as well.
We did.
And that was on a lady. I don't know. Anyway, as I was saying, if you want to find out more about life in the mountains, don't forget to pick up a copy of Monocle Alpino, which is on newsstands now.
Almost sold out here, though.
It's a very, very fine thing, and you should own a copy.
And in a moment, we're going to be stripping off and uncorking our essential oils for the first part in Sophie Groves. Spa guide to Samaritz. In fact, we're actually going to do it now. We're going to have a song. In fact, we're going to have a song, but we are going to do it now. Are we not?
We are. I'm insisting upon it. The Engadine has been a health destination for decades. The first tourists in the area came here to bathe in the clean lakes and heal in the fresh mountain air. Today, it has hosted some of the world's best clinics, as we've heard, some impressive public swimming baths, and a lot of hotel spas.
Well, in the first part of Sophie's Naked Spa Guide to the area, she went down to meet Mrs. Martha Wiedemann, wellness director of the Badgerts Palace Hotel. And over cups of ginger tea on her sunny terrace, they talked about the history of wellness in the area and the project to renovate the spa.
The project actually started 5 years ago. We opened the centre 3 years ago, and the main part of the concept was to bring as much of the regional connection, because we have got such an astounding nature here, and we wanted to bring in as much of the local elements, the local destination, and that magnificent view of the Swiss Alps and this beautiful lake outside. So we felt it was that the destination gave so much to the idea of wellness and spas that we just invited all of that into our design.
Samaritz does have a history of being a sort of wellness destination. Can you tell me anything about that and whether or not you were sort of drawing on the heritage here in Samaritz?
Yes, definitely. The destination is, it's all about nature. And nature is such a big connection to wellness. And it always did have that image, which was the reason why people came up here. It had these pristine mountains, this beautiful clean air, beautiful glaciers, the purity of the region. And it's inspirational. So people came up here actually originally because of that, the nature. And they had mud treatments up here. They came up here to be treated for allergies. So yes, this was originally a destination for wellness, even though it became then this luxury attraction of get away and live it up. But we thought it was important not to replace what people come here for now, but to add that original reason as well. So to expand on that wellness experience. And we found that actually people do come up here now for both reasons, not just the party ambiance and nightlife and luxury, but it's also to have part of their stay include maybe 2 hours of the day, 3 hours of the day on wellness and to keep that balance.
So tell me a little bit about the treatments that you have here. I mean, it isn't just Swiss inspired, although you're using a lot of Swiss products and there is sort of Swiss flowers incorporated into each of the designs for the treatment rooms, which is very lovely touch. But I wondered, can you tell me about any signature treatments that you think really encapsulate what you're doing here at Badgerts Palace?
Yes, in fact, one of the things we did before we put together the concept and the building of this center, we did a lot of market research on what were our clients looking for. And it was important for us to give them the international menu of treatments. There are so many different concepts in wellness which we brought into our center. We brought in Chinese herbs, we brought in Ayurvedic herbs, we brought in good natural European therapies. We've got Thai massage, shiatsu, but we've got Ayurveda, we've got European treatments as well and skincare. So it is very international. It was important for us to give our clients the results. Everything we do is aimed at giving that sense of well-being and wellness, whether it's wellness to your skin, wellness to your body, wellness to your hair. We've addressed the head-to-toe wellness in all of our treatments. There are a lot of treatments that are unique to our center. Again, this came from our market research to address what people were looking for. And we have got the detoxifying, the rejuvenating, using Ayurvedic herbs, giving people a consultation. Sometimes we have people in the first 2 days who just want jet lag treatments, and that's rebalancing massage. That is to bring the body back into harmony and balance so that they can enjoy their holiday and their time up here.
And tell me about the sort of deep tissue ski massage and the sort of kind of nitty gritty of this is a ski resort. Do you have to find the practitioners and the therapists for this season specifically that can really cater to those people who are, you know, out on the slopes and wanting treatments when they come back?
Yes, absolutely. We do find that it, first of all, it's very important for us to have people who are experienced and well-trained. But we do run a lot of our own training programs because most of our treatments are unique to our center. And the products that we use are also unique to us. We have our own training programs that actually go on for 2 weeks. And everybody is trained in what we do that's unique to our center, even though they have done a lot of extensive schooling in wellness and therapies elsewhere. We've drawn from that and expanded on it and what we offer here. So yes, people are trained to do exactly what we're offering in the center.
And you were instrumental in the design of this, the new spa at Badrutt's Palace. You just showed me around, and it seems like, you know, light is very important here. Air, you kept mentioning this kind of circulation of natural fresh air. Is that really part of what makes this a mountain spa, keeping it fresh, keeping it, you know, outdoorsy?
Yeah, I think actually all spas and wellness centers should incorporate the nature of, you know, to allow the oxygen flow through your center. Natural light is very important. The minute we go into artificial lighting, it disturbs the individual in some way, because you go into an artificial setting, and natural light is giving the body and mind a connection to the time of the day, the natural clock. So the afternoon light is different to the morning light. If you go into a center that's got artificial light, it disconnects you when you come out. So we want people to actually not have a connection to their watches, but to have a connection to the time of the day and what the sun is doing. This is part of wellness. And one of the things we did address in the design is that if you only walk through the center, you should still have a sense of well-being. So design is very important when it comes to wellness in a spa and a wellness center, that you should actually have this feeling of, oh yes, there's something that feels right here, even if you cannot tap into what it is. But it's about the fact that the right side of the center connects to the sun, left side connects to the moon. So we've got solar and lunar here, that everything on the right side of the center is the active zone and the left's the tranquil zone. And so the body feels like that feels right for them.
Well, that was Sophie Grove, and
on one of her tougher assignments.
Oh my God! If there isn't anything she doesn't now know about, kind of anything from waxing to kind of deep tissue massage, I don't know what. But anyway, that was her speaking to Martha Wiedemann, wellness director of the Badrutt's Palace Hotel.
And that is all the time we have for today. Our producer was David Michon. Our researcher was Manon Spindler. Jack Phillips was the man at the deck here in Semmeritz. Chris Fitch is manning the decks back in London, and Isabel Kayser pulled all of this together. A very happy New Year for me, Tyler Brulé,
Sophie Grove,
and me, Andrew Tuck.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.